Okay. One of the classic exercises in appreciating bitachon is a comparison to the alchemist. Anybody know what that is? The Chovos HaLevavos describes who he's talking about. He says that there was a legend that there's a person with this talent. He knows how to mix things. He can turn lead into gold. And I don't know if you've ever seen these pictures from the Middle Ages, like woodcuts, where people are mixing potions and it's bubbling and
trying to create gold.
Right? There was this myth, there was this concept, the same way that Columbus has his approach that the world is round, you know. There were people who thought that somewhere you'll be able to change the chemical properties of a commonly found item such as lead and be able to turn it into gold. And if you could do this, then you have all the money in the world. And it was such a phenomenal mental exercise to think about, compare the average person, the person who has bitachon, the person who's an alchemist. Who's better off in life? Tremendous exercise. In our time, there's a very simple analogy to the alchemist, person who has unlimited money. What's the myth of our society? If you win the lottery. It's the same myth. If I win the lottery. Yeah? And then what? And then what? You're still going to have to talk civilly to your spouse. Then I won't have to deal with my boss because I have money. Okay? Go through it as a mental exercise and figure out what would really change in your life if you won the lottery. I mean, I know there's a cleaning lady in Tennessee that recently won the lottery. And the first thing she did was she said, I'm not quitting my jobs. And she knew if she stayed at home, she would go crazy. What's she going to do with all her money? The routine's not changing. It's the smartest thing a person can do. But honestly, a person's an alchemist. He can take lead and turn it into gold. So he has all the money in the world. So the Chovos HaLevavos writes that the person of bitachon, the person who believes that whatever crisis he's in, Hashem can come through, is the equivalent of the alchemist, because he has unlimited resources, because God becomes Big Daddy in his mind, and he can always rely on Hashem. And he's greater than the alchemist. He lists it off as 10 ways that he's greater. The Baal Bitachon, the person of trust, is greater than the alchemist in 10 ways. I analyzed the 10 ways, and for practicality's sake, I broke it down to 4 categories. Let's do them together. 5a. One who trusts Hashem does not need any rare chemicals and does not need to involve himself in dangerous procedures. Meaning, even this alchemist had lots of risks associated, and the person of bitachon has a straight, serene life. We'll develop that even more. B. One who trusts in Hashem can publicize his perspective without fear. There's no jealousy. You want to be jealous of my trust? So join me. It's free for anybody to trust in Hashem. He will therefore not fear to remain in one place. The alchemist, the legend would be that he would keep changing location. No one should catch up with him because he's altering nature. He will not fear that he's going to be reported to the authorities. If someone discovers the person of trust's methods, they will respect him. He's a dignified person, a person who wishes goodness for everyone because he in turn is not jealous of anyone else. He knows that God will give him whatever he's entitled to. So your store should succeed and my store should succeed. And if your store succeeds more than mine, I rest assured that your success is not infringing on mine. Hashem provides me with whatever I'm supposed to have. Totally different than the alchemist that people will view with jealousy.
People aren't like that. People are jealous.
Of a person of bitachon, a person of absolute trust. In other words, get to know him. Get to know the person. The person is totally benevolent.
They could.
You want to lead in...
His store is doing better than mine, then why is that happening?
Okay. An ultimate person of trust, picture the scene. He hears that someone's jealous. He goes over and says, I'd like to tell you some of the techniques and tricks that I put in my store, and they might be helpful to you. I have a discount supplier. Here's his number. You understand how extreme this goes? A person who has absolute trust, usually we go half-baked, and that may be good for us. But he's describing in the quintessential example, this person is not afraid to help other people. There's an amazing story. There's a family, I believe is a Judaico store in Boston. And someone opened up a second Judaica store in town. And the guy was having trouble. He was having trouble with the family. There was an illness in the family with one of the kids. It was hard for him. So the person of the first and bigger Judaica store asked his kids, you know how the Sfarim store works. You know how Judaica store works. Go over to his store and pitch in. Help him, stock the shelves, you know, give him a hand. And if he runs out of things and, you know, he can't have them shipped from New York fast enough, so give it to him from us at cost. A whole different attitude. And his kids walk around to this day, you know, priding themselves that they had such a father. Because that's amazing. You're not afraid of the other guy. Why are you not afraid of the other guy? You're so self-confident. It's a religious lack of fear. Because I know that only good things can come from my helping the guy who I'm the best person in town to know how to help him. Because I have the same business. I know exactly where you should put the Hanukkah menorahs so that people should buy them. And how many weeks before Hanukkah they should go out. This, besides learning a mitzvah here, it's an eye-opener that such a human being can exist. Not being over-frightened in this world. And that all comes from this skill, that if you become an expert in this mitzvah, then you have an amazing skill with which you can live life. And the same is true the other way. You know, it's very cute to talk about the more established business. But the new business is also supposed to be a person of bitachon. Rabbi A.J. Twersky has in one of his books, he says, one of the incidents that made such an amazing impression in his life, there was a gentleman in town who was a rough and tough guy, really an ignorant Jew. But he was around. He was around in society. People knew of him. And this guy's son opened up a clothing store. He was trying to open up a clothing store down the block from an existing clothing store. And this father, who, you know, he never anticipated any refinement from, went over to his son and said, you may not open a clothing store down the block from the other clothing store. And his son gave him a million reasons why he's allowed to do it. And I already paid rent, and I already, and I started fixing it up. And the father said, you know, God doesn't give blessing to a guy who opens up his clothing store down the block from someone else. You may not do it. And the son, just on, you know, sheer willpower of his father, closed the store, paid the rent anyway, and opened up on a different part of the town. Yep. He has no right to invoke to the first guy, Oh, you should be having bitachon. Yeah, I do that. This is not something you fling at someone else. This is something you internalize yourself. How much you can demand that of someone else, that's a whole different discussion. Let a court decide that. You know, what's Jewish law? But this is something that we're supposed to be internalizing.
Can I give a question about the first sentence, which one who trusts Hashem can publicize his perspective without fear, but who trusts in Hashem unconditionally can have our own ideas anyway. So what's so good about publicizing?
I'm not sure what you're saying.
One who trusts in Hashem
can publicize his perspective, meaning what made me so wealthy? What made me so wealthy is that I trusted in Hashem, I prayed every day, I gave charity generously, and I'm not jealous of other people. Can you imagine hearing that from somebody? I see any room for ill will against such a person. If you show me such a human being, he made an honest living, he worked hard, what are you going to do? Now, if you want to watch him from the distance, I could see people being jealous of him. The fact is that I'm struggling to make a living and he's doing it with ease. But once you get to know him, he has no fear to publicize what made him wealthy, his perspective. And on the contrary, people who get to know him better will like him more. Mm-hmm. C. One who trusts in Hashem achieves serenity, even regarding the unknown future. Right? A person who wins the lottery, or the alchemist, so he doesn't know what the future has in store. When he needs to purchase things with money, so this guy thinks, I have all the money in the world. Who says the items are going to be available? You know, if there's no bread in the store, then you could have all the money in the world. You don't know what tomorrow brings. You know, everybody thinks that tomorrow is going to be the same as today. My Rebbe in Yeshiva used to say, I don't know what tomorrow is going to be like, but I can guarantee it's not going to be like today. Either it's going to be better or it's going to be worse. But we don't see it like that, right? The stock market is built like that. People think if it's going up, it's going to keep going up. If it's going down, it's going to keep going down. The experts will tell you, if it's going up, they know when, but they trigger it. They know it's going up at a certain point, that's the time to sell. It's going down, oh, now's the time to buy. They know that tomorrow's not going to be like today. How do you know things are going to be available? Good, you have money in the bank. And besides the money issue, he also has protection in life regarding aspects of life such as health. They can't be solved with money. How do you know your spouse isn't going to wake up the next morning, God forbid, with a real bad attitude? What's money going to help? So if you live in the United States, so you think, oh, I'll buy her a diamond ring and then she'll be in a good mood. You know, how pathetic. It's not even funny anymore. It's pathetic. That doesn't solve the problem. A person who has bitachon knows, whatever you throw me, I'll turn to Hashem and he'll provide me with whatever I need in order to succeed. A beautiful analogy of bitachon is the cell phone in our society. A lot of people, used to be you relied on the lottery, you're going to win the lottery. Today it's, I have a cell phone. What's a cell phone going to do you? You figure you're covered. If the car breaks down, I have a cell phone. If I'm hungry, so I'll call somebody and they'll tell me where the eatery is. If I forget something, I'll call home, they'll fax it to me. And I have a cell phone. Right? So even that, you know, it's a little silly, but that's really what bitachon is. You have the opportunity to use your cell phone, to call Hashem, whenever you need to. And suddenly, so let's say I walk into an interview and I forgot whatever. So I'm not sure how your cell phone is going to help you, but your bitachon is going to help you. I'll be able to say with a smile, oh, I forgot my resume. I know it was critical. You told me to bring it. But, you know, I forgot it. Let's talk about it, and I'll get you the resume tomorrow. So if you're a person of bitachon, I don't care what the guy said before, you better not come without your resume. If you're a person of bitachon, you strengthen yourself, and you walk in anyway, and you apologize. But if you were relying on your cell phone, or whatever you were relying on, it's not going to do the trick. So he says, things that are not resolvable with whatever it is you're putting your faith in, whether you're putting your faith in your money, you're putting your faith in your charm, whatever it is, the last thing you want is Hashem should leave go and say, okay, so you do it with your charm. You do it with your money and see where it takes you. And finally, D, one who trusts in Hashem benefits from his approach even in the world to come. The beauty of bitachon is that you're not only getting a better life in this world, but you're doing in this world the act of a mitzvah which will earn you the world to come. Every time a person does or strengthens himself in bitachon, he is doing a mitzvah. He's coming closer to Hashem. He's building a relationship with Him to the point that if a person trains themselves properly, you confront something, your first reaction is, how does Hashem want me to deal with this? How is Hashem going to help me? We're in this together. You are earning the world to come at the same time that He's promising you a more serene life.
This is really a mitzvah. I mean, it's one of the 613.
The mitzvah of bitachon is an extension of the mitzvah of tefillah, of prayer. An awareness that Hashem alone runs the world and He's the one we turn to. There's a beautiful incident with the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, great sage, had all kinds of divine inspiration, stories associated with him. So they once served him his breakfast, which included a hard-boiled egg. He picked up the egg. He looked at the egg. He thought for a second. He said, I guess I don't need to eat an egg today. And he put it down. And when they cleared the table, you know, they were a little surprised. Like, he always eats the same thing, and he eats his hard-boiled egg, and that's his nutrition for the day. You know, like, what happened? They decided to open it up, and inside they found that it's the equivalent of a non-kosher egg because whatever it is, right? And they affirm that there was no way to tell from the outside that there had been this problem. So a lot of people quote this story, you know, like divine inspiration, prophetic insight. Wow, he knew that he shouldn't eat the egg and he shouldn't even bother. It's a waste of time to peel it because he's not going to be able to eat it. What I get out of the story, though, is the Jewish attitude. The attitude is, for some reason, the egg that I was counting on doesn't work out today. I guess Hashem has decided that I don't need to eat that egg today. I guess I don't need it today. And that's a bitachon attitude. A person who's not wealthy thinks to himself, I guess Hashem decided that to fulfill my mission in life, I don't need to be wealthy. And everything is like that. Yeah.
And it's the same... Exactly the same approach of bitachon applied to the person who is just about it, executed, who says, you know, I have complete trust in Hashem. I guess I don't need to be alive today.
That Hashem knows what He's doing.
Exactly.
Yes. That Hashem knows what He's doing.
I have room to grow.
Yeah.
You see, but if you're not aware that this exists, then you can't even take the next step. Forget about taking the next 100 steps to be, you know, a spiritually great Jew. If you're not aware that this exists, you can't even take the next step. You can't even be an honest Jew in basic, normal life if you don't understand bitachon. Hashem's running the world. My job is to do the right thing.